I graduated in 1987, and Iowa was number one in education, and we have followed a long way. So from you know, K-12, we got to get back to teaching the fundamentals, teaching the ABCs of reading, writing, math, history, and not teaching all the political agendas of DEI and all this stuff. You know, my parents were both teachers for both 35 years. My mom taught in the public school. My dad taught in the private school. My wife was a kindergarten teacher for 24 years. And they said the number one issue right now is also the bureaucracy that's in these schools, that we have two administrative people for every one teacher. That just seems so wrong, doesn't it? Two administrative people for every teacher. And you talk to the teachers, they'll say they spend 1 to 2 hours a day just doing paperwork instead of teaching. We got to get the teachers in the classroom teaching. We've got to get parents involved and engaged in deciding what's best for their child. You know, that comes to making sure that we have a robust school choice program. You know, again, raising all boats. We want parents to decide, hey, what school is best for my kid? Where can they get that world-class education? And when I'm governor, we are going to make sure that we get back to number one.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of eastern Iowa and northwestern Illinois. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and I'm delighted today to have as my guest Congressman Randy Feenstra, who most all Iowans know as the congressman from the far western 4th Congressional District in Iowa. He's running for governor this year. I think most everybody considers him to be the front runner to go on and compete in a general election in November. And Congressman, I know you're very, very busy this time leading up to the primary, so I'm very grateful for you to taking the time to be on the show.
Well, hey, Robin, it's great to be on Heartland Politics, and thanks for all you do to get out what we the people want to hear. We are all taxpayers together, and it's important for people to know what's happening in government together.
First question for you is, you've got a pretty good seat out there in western Iowa. You're probably, you know, no competition. You could stay there longer. You're on two great committees in Washington, Ways and Means and Agriculture, have been involved in drafting and passing some very significant legislation. Why come back and run for governor?
Yeah, it really comes down to, I love this state. And I'm a fourth-generation Iowan, grew up in a small town. I want to be here. I don't want to be in D.C. and banging my head and not getting anything done. You know, I want to make sure things get done in Iowa. I want to take Iowa to new heights. And that's what this is all about. You know, I've lived the Iowa dream, and I want everyone else to have the Iowa dream like I had. You know, from a rural kid having a little paper out, working at the local bakery, met my wonderful wife at the local pizza ranch where we worked. You know, we've been married 33 wonderful years and have four great kids. I mean, that's the Iowa way. And I just want everyone else to have that, just like I did.
Yeah, it's interesting. I read about your background. For our listeners who don't know, Randy's from Hull, Iowa, right? Sioux County, a town of about 2,000 to 3,000. That's small town Iowa. And so for our listeners, again, just maybe reading Randy for the first time, he comes from a small town. And these small towns are having a tough time of it these days, aren't they?
Yeah. I tell you what, I was a city administrator of our town, and that's really what got me into politics. Is I was head of sales of a large candy company, and I loved my little town. I said, hey, I want to make a difference here, and I want to run government like a business. And that's what I did, and we dramatically grew Hull. Then I went on to be a county treasurer of our county, cut taxes there, and then became state senator, where I wrote the largest tax cut in Iowa history, signed by the governor, and obviously now in Congress, and I wrote the largest tax cut with President Trump in U.S. history. So for me, it's all about delivering for Iowans and making sure that we have more money in our pockets and have a great quality of life.
I'm sure you're hearing it on the campaign trail. I know you're working hard all across the state. I hear it from people here. I live on the Illinois side of the border. High costs, utility bills, gas, food. You know, it's hard. What can state government do? What would you do as governor to try to help address some of these pressing costs that are on people? Some people were talking about utility bills almost the size of their mortgages.
Yeah, this is the number one issue. You know, when I travel the state, it's all about affordability for families and for farmers. And for me, it's first of all, you've got to grow your economy. You've got to continue to figure out solutions. I want to make sure that Iowa becomes the most business and ag-friendly state in the country. That does mean you've got to lower property taxes. You got to lower income taxes. You got to put more money in people's pockets so they can invest. But it also means that you can create a more affordability by delivering high quality health care but lowering premiums. In Iowa, we have one insurance company called Blue Cross and Blue Shield. There's no competition. We got to make sure we lower those costs, and we can do that at the government level, at the state government level. We can also reduce pharmaceutical costs. Again, when you freeze property taxes, I think of all these seniors that can't live in their homes anymore because they live on a fixed income. We got to make sure that we freeze property taxes for them. So there's so many great things that we can do to lower costs. We just got E15 passed. That will lower the cost at the pump for by 20 to 30 cents. I mean, again, it's continuing to deliver results and figure out solutions to get it done for Iowans.
I know the Iowa legislature, which, of course, has been controlled by Republicans for I don't know how many years now, quite a few years. They've been attacking some of these issues. I know they've been trying to lower income taxes, and they're looking at property taxes. Long term, Congressman, do you see the shift maybe being from those sources maybe over to something like a sales tax? Or what's your thought about that?
No, you got to be very responsible. But when you lower taxes, and we found this, so I was the writer of the largest tax cut in Iowa history. What happened? The next several years, we had incredible increases of economic growth and revenue coming in because people spent more. So when you give people more money in their pockets and when you reduce property taxes, all right, that allows people to have success. That allows people to stay in their homes. And that's why it starts with lowering property taxes, lowering income taxes, doing it responsibly, but to have these people have more money in their pockets so they can afford gas and groceries and everything else.
What's your thoughts on the economy? I mean, right now it's kind of a lot of anxiety because of costs and the Iran war and Ukraine and AI. I mean, there's just a lot of uncertainty for somebody. I mean, you served obviously in Washington, come back to Iowa if you're successful. I mean, how do you do on day one, Congressman, to kind of get up a plan together? How would you go about that? What are some of your thoughts?
Yeah. So. My vision is number one, again, to make Iowa the most business and ag-friendly state in the country. Our backbone, literally our backbone of our economy in Iowa is our agricultural community. When our farmers and producers are successful, our main streets are successful, our schools, our hospitals, it all goes hand in hand. So we have to lower the cost of inputs, of fertilizer, of seed, of gas. We have to make sure that we increase commodity prices by having more trade. We just right now, I just talked with the U.S. Trade Representative from Mexico and Canada. They love Iowa. They want to do more trade with us. That's what we need to continue to grow these commodity prices. But also, we have to make sure that we're helping families out, making sure we lower health care premiums so they can afford to buy health care, lowering and giving a world-class education to our kids. So when they come out of high school with a skill, there's a job waiting for them so they can create this great quality of life that Iowa has and has that opportunity for them.
I know you're aware, like the Case New Holland plant in Burlington just closed, just down the river from here. I saw on your website when you've talked about bringing manufacturing jobs back. I know in eastern Iowa in particular, that's a big issue. And some of that's due to some trade policies where these factories go overseas. What's your thoughts on balancing that? You know, are the whole country, but Iowa's place in the global economy, where, you know, you want to have good markets open up, but also you got to make sure that our domestic industries are protected from unfair trade practices.
Yeah, you nailed it. Absolutely. You know, I sit on Ways and Means in Congress, and what I have learned is that the state that is the most aggressive when it comes to going after manufacturing, going after businesses that have left our country, but now they want to come back because of what we've done in our tax structure and what we've done on our regulatory side. They want to come back. So we have to be extremely aggressive at going after these businesses that want to come back. They got to come to Iowa. I don't care any other state. They got to be here. I was head of sales of a candy company. I know how important it is to negotiate and get these companies here. But also, I want to grow from within also. We have so many great companies here. We cannot let them leave or shut down. Again, we have to make sure we reduce regulations, help them with their taxes, and make sure that they continue to grow and develop and create great employment for our families. I want to make sure we hire, you know, we continue to hire wages for all our workers. And it starts with having businesses being successful here, right here in Iowa.
Probably, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but the toughest challenge of all on economic development might be helping these small towns and rural communities. So many places, like we're, including where I live, you know, we know the story. Populations are moving. Young people are going to big cities where there's more opportunities. The resulting population's older. Then you have trouble getting enough money for to fund services, and it's just like a unending cycle. And it's really tough. And like I say, in our rural communities, do you have specific ideas on helping the small towns and rural counties throughout the state?
Yep. I tell you what, I was city administrator of our town, and we dramatically grew it. And how we grew it was, first, creating a quality of life where people wanted to live in this small town. We created a wonderful library. We created making sure that we had protection. And then what happened was we started getting more people investing in Main Street. And then all of a sudden, we landed a big cheese plant. Then we landed a new manufacturing facility. It all works together. But you have to have partnerships. You have to have these private-public partnerships working with the state government, working with the local government, the county, working with the businesses to say, hey, you got to invest in your community, and we're going to be right beside you investing also. And then that's how you create this great quality of life. And then it also means working with our schools, our high schools, that they're training the kids in the skills needed for that area. So when that kid comes out of high school, that they have a skill and they can work in that manufacturing or that business that's in that community. This is how you keep our kids here. We've got the greatest workforce in the country. It's all the kids that are coming out of high school and our community colleges and our universities. We just got to make sure that the skills and the jobs line up with them so they stay right here in Iowa. And that's what I want to get done.
Listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and I'm very pleased to have as my guest today United States Congressman Randy Feenstra, who's running for governor of Iowa in the Republican primary next Tuesday. Make sure you go vote. If you're undecided and you're planning to vote in a Republican primary, here's a chance to learn more about the congressman. We've talked a little bit more today so far about why he's running, which I think is an important question that he answered as far as the seat in Congress that he has and coming back and running for governor. We've talked about high costs, some of his thoughts on addressing that, taxes, economic development. You just mentioned an issue anymore, I think, you know, goes right with economic development, and you alluded to that, and it's education. It's just so critical anymore to have a top-flight education system to prepare students for the global economy. And now with artificial intelligence, I mean, who knows? You read different reports on that all the time. But how do you want to make Iowa, keep Iowa? It's got a pretty good reputation in education right now. Make it more of a magnet for students to come here and keep young people here through the education system.
Yeah, exactly. So I graduated in 1987, and Iowa was number one in education, and we have followed a long ways. So from you know, K-12, we got to get back to teaching the fundamentals, teaching the ABCs of reading, writing, math, history, and not teaching all the political agendas of DEI and all this stuff. You know, my parents were both teachers for both 35 years. My mom taught in the public school. My dad taught in the private school. My wife was a kindergarten teacher for 24 years. And they said the number one issue right now is also the bureaucracy that's in these schools, that we have two administrative people for every one teacher. That just seems so wrong, doesn't it? Two administrative people for every teacher. And you talk to the teachers, they'll say they spend 1 to 2 hours a day just doing paperwork instead of teaching. We got to get the teachers in the classroom teaching. We've got to get parents involved and engaged in deciding what's best for their child. You know, that comes to making sure that we have a robust school choice program. You know, again, raising all boats. We want parents to decide, hey, what school is best for my kid? Where can they get that world-class education? And when I'm governor, we are going to make sure that we get back to number one.
What do you think about the idea that's out there now of allowing community colleges to allow 4-year college degrees? I mean, there's been some back and forth, some controversy, both sides. I know people in Iowa, good people that are on both sides of this issue. Where do you come down on it?
Yeah, I tell you what, again, it goes back to how do we get to world-class education? Our universities do a tremendous job. Our community colleges also do a fantastic job of getting kids these skills that these kids need. And I'm really looking forward to sitting down with both our university and our community college and get this worked out. I think there's a benefit for both sides. I think both sides can win. And it's just a matter of sitting everybody down and say, all right, how does this create world-class education in this great state? And how does it make sure that when that kid graduates from that school, community college or university, that they have a job waiting for them? And that's got to be our vision.
What do you consider your most important endorsement so far in this race? All candidates are touting their endorsements. Which one means the most to you so far?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'd love, you know, to say this. I have more than 500 Iowans representing all 99 counties that endorse me. But, you know, having our longest serving governor, Ambassador Governor Branstad endorse me has been very special. You know, he's done a lot in this state, and he sees me as a guy that delivered results and gets it done. You know, also our Secretary of Ag, Mike Nagy, has endorsed me. You know, I can go on and on, but these are just key people that understand the economy, understand what it takes, and knows what it means to take the state to new heights.
So many issues now, it seems like there's fewer and fewer just state issues. Everything is Washingtonized or national. And I think that's, well, good and bad. But one is the relations with China, and that's very important. I mean, you just mentioned Governor Branstad, who's our ambassador for a while. I've seen where you've talked about legislation on keeping an eye on China buying up Iowa farm ground, but yet that's a very important soybean market. You know, as governor, I mean, you're going to be going to China, I'm sure, meeting with people. How do you balance that out to again, protect Iowa business interests, agricultural interests, but also make sure that they play by fair set of rules?
Yeah. Well, we got to be very vigilant and understand that they are our adversaries. However, they also allow us the opportunity to sell a lot of our commodities there, from corn to hogs to a lot of our soybeans. And you know what? We have to make sure that Iowa farmland belongs to the Iowa farmer. We should not allow our adversaries to ever buy our farmland. But I'm also understanding that we have to have robust trade, and that starts with Canada and Mexico and China and our Asian countries like Taiwan and Japan, and we're opening up a lot of African countries right now. But we have to yell and scream the loudest. We are Iowa. We got to be proud of what we have, and we need somebody that's very aggressive getting these trade deals done. And I've done it now, being in Ways and Means at the federal level. I know what trade is all about because we handle that in Ways and Means. And I look forward to selling our state and making sure that everyone is successful in our great state.
As you know, Secretary of Health Human Services in Washington, Robert Kennedy Jr., has the MAHA, I guess it's called, Make America Healthy Again. To do that in Iowa would be MIHA. You're going to have to come up with a new acronym. But Do you have anything, any ideas on this? I know you mentioned competition in the hospital industry, but also because of, you know, concerns about the cancer rates in Iowa seem to be going up.
Yeah, we have to, you know, I love the idea of making Iowa healthy again, making sure that Iowa becomes the one of the healthiest states in the country. And it really starts with cancer. Sadly, we all know somebody that's battling cancer. Obviously, I had a close family friend that passed away of cancer. It's awful. And that's why we have to invest in the research to find solutions. All right, we have to find the solutions. I want to work with the University of Iowa and other universities to find the solutions and then go after it and make sure that we go after the solutions and remedy these issues. That's how we save lives. We also need more oncologists in this great state. We also need more voluntary opportunities for men and women to get their mammograms, to get their colonoscopies. I mean, it all goes together. If you catch cancer at an early time, it'll save your life. So I just urge anybody out there, if you're over 50, man, please beg in here. Go in for that colonoscopy, go in for that mammogram. But for myself, it's investing in research and finding that solution to what's causing it.
It's been one of the more controversial issues that really kind of eats at the Republican coalition is this issue on carbon pipelines. Been some big differences on it. The governor caught some flack for vetoing a bill. What's your thoughts on this topic?
I stand with private property owners. That private property is Iowa. Is that person's property in Iowa? We should never use eminent domain for a private company. That should always be worked out between that property owner and the private company. And if that property owner doesn't want something to go through their land, they should not go through their land. I will stick up for the private property owner every day. Eminent domain should never be used.
Okay. I've got another topic here that goes along with we talked about China, but immigration. You know, the Trump administration, no doubt, by building the wall, cracking down on immigration, has cut illegal immigration down to a trickle, if that. But a lot of farms and businesses, meatpacking plants, depend on immigration. Here again, there's a balance. As governor, how do you go about that on this issue? How do you ensure the labor supply for some key industries where immigrants play a big role, but also making sure that people are here legally?
Well, I'm very proud to have worked with President Trump. I mean, we passed the bill to secure the border. We passed deporting dangerous illegal immigrants. Actually, the first bill that President Trump signed was mine, and that was Sarah's Law to detain and prosecute illegal immigrants who harm and kill Americans. And I'll just say this, is that there is a right way to do this. You get in line, and you don't cut the line. You get in line. If you want to come to this country with a green card, all right, we will do that, and we will have somebody to sponsor you. But you can't come in illegally. You'll be deported, and you should not be here legally, or you will be deported. That's my stance.
So you get elected. Let's move ahead here. You get elected, and you're taking office in January. You take the oath. What's the top three priorities? What's the first thing, three things you do?
The number one thing is we got to continue to cut and freeze property taxes. I applaud our legislature that they went down this path and our governor. But for me, it's about making sure that seniors can stay in their own home, meaning you got to freeze property taxes for them because they live on fixed incomes. Number two is we've got to get rid of the bureaucracy in our schools and get back to world-class education for every child. Number three is we got to keep our kids right here. That means that they have to have a skill when they come out of high school, and a skill and a job waiting for them. That's how you keep our kids right here. And then finally, delivering high-quality, affordable health care, meaning reducing premiums, making sure that ambulance shows up within minutes and not hours, reducing costs of pharmaceuticals and protecting our rural hospitals and pharmacies. These are the key components of taking this state to new heights.
It just occurred to me that, for years I've been hearing about more skills training. And I know Germany, and I know you're aware of this, has this apprenticeship system where it's kind of built into their whole education system where you go, I think, eighth grade, and then you kind of separate out either a college track or a skills track. Is that something, as far as apprenticeships that, you've been looking at to increase in Iowa to help on skills training?
Yeah, you nailed it. When you become a freshman, sophomore, junior, that you're starting to figure out, what do I want to do in life? All right, so you can have the opportunity to have a mentorship or apprenticeship that you can see, hey, do I like healthcare? Do I like ag? Do I like manufacturing? What do I want to do? So you can dip your toes in, and then that senior year that maybe you want to get into a specific apprenticeship or a mentorship and work, a semester in a certain business. And then that business can also help you along the way saying, hey, we like your skills, so we're going to pay for your college as you move forward, or we're going to pay for your education as we move forward. It's a private-public partnership. It's successful in many areas. We've got to continue to implement in Iowa. I think that's how you get the skills for our kids that are needed for these new jobs that are coming our way.
Before I turn it over to you, Congressman, for a final statement here, I just want to again say I appreciate your answers here. My show, as my listeners know, I keep focused on issues people care about. I don't get into gotcha stuff. I'm not going to talk about polls. Other places do that. That's fine. I'd rather keep it on issues, and I appreciate your answers, your concise answers, to get to as many of these topics as possible to help educate our voters. So here's my last question. It's like an attorney before a jury. What's your final closing statement? If there's voters out there listening in that are still undecided, you've got like 2 minutes here. Make your case.
I'm born and raised in Northwest Iowa. I lived here all my life, lived in the same town, went to the same church all my life. My kids went to the same school. I love this state, and that's why I want to take it to new heights. I've done it all. I was head of sales of a large candy company, city administrator, county treasurer, state senator, where I wrote the largest tax cut in Iowa history, state U.S. congressman, where I wrote the largest tax cut in U.S. history. I've done it all, and now I want to take Iowa to new heights to be the best, the most business and ag-friendly state in the country, deliver world-class education, keep our kids right in Iowa, and deliver high-quality, affordable health care. That's what I'll do when I'm governor, and people can go to feasterforgovernor.com and learn more about me.
Thanks for writing that. This has to set a record for the most questions I've been able to get in with anybody running for office. I remember,
Robin, you did doing a great job, man.
Well, you did a great job. I one time I had a candidate in Illinois. I only got 2 questions in a half hour. I mean, that
means they're speaking too much.
So you are the exact opposite, and I do appreciate that. Thank you again, Congressman Randy Feenstra, a candidate for governor of Iowa in the Republican primary this next Tuesday. Thank you for joining us today on Heartland Politics.
Robin, great to be on Heartland Politics. Thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK Quad Cities NPR. You can follow Heartland Politics at WVIK.org or wherever you subscribe to podcasts.